The Watchman's Cry, where my dad talks about the end time. So grab your Bible and a pen and paper, and get ready for a good Bible study.
Greetings, brethren. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to The Watchman's Cry. My name is Nathan Liao, and I'm up here on the wall bringing you the news, the reports, the happenings, and the information of what is coming upon the land. Well, folks, it's already February. 1 month of 09 is behind us. And real quick, I want to welcome you. If you're a new listener, you're in for a treat. What's the treat, you ask? Well, unlike the false message that you will hear from the Christian Fortune Cookie Network, here at Watchman's Cry, I'll tell you the truth, brethren. You're not going to get a false message that tells you that the yardstick for measuring God's blessing is the new car smell. Because it's not. It's not a bunch of stuff that we acquire that makes us a spiritual giant, like Kenneth Copeland proclaims. True story, folks. Mr. Kenneth C. went to a prison and delivered the prosperity gospel. He told the prisoners while they are in prison how blessed he was. And he went on to say that this proves that his gospel works because he has a bunch of stuff, because he's blessed. And he kept promoting that statement, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. And as he did that, I was really amazed, folks, that the prisoners sitting there in the chapel were all clapping and cheering for him. What's right is wrong, folks. What's down is up. And today, even in a prison, the doctrines of demons and the lying prosperity gospel even tickles the ears of prisoners. You know what, Mr. Copeland? You're not wealthy because you're blessed. You're wealthy because you're a thieving charlatan that convinces unknowing old ladies to part with the money in their Social Security check. You're a cloud without water, and you're an embarrassment to the pure gospel of Christ. Sorry, folks. I just had to say that. Why? Because Mr. Copeland, along with many others, could be warning and preparing the people of God right now. But instead, they're still playing Candyland. And it's a big self-serving game to them. And as a result, many of their disciples are falling by the wayside. But nevertheless, those false deceivers, those wolves, will have their day in court. And when that day comes, woe to you shepherds. Well, enough of that. Let's move on. In the news, brethren, it's the same story. We're all living a life of headlines, aren't we? In one way or another, we are part of the story of statistics. And as I have said in some of my other programs, if the Lord tarries, folks, this period that we're living in, it's going to be in the school books of future generations, the new depression of 08 and 09. You know, I wonder at what point our leaders in government will say, So, guys, should we tell them that, you know, we're in one, in a depression? Should we tell them? You know, folks, I really wonder about that. At what point do they let the cat out of the bag? Because it's not like we don't already know. Will it be after the angry mobs storm government buildings around the country? Angry because the states quit sending out unemployment checks? Is that what it's going to take? Or are Americans too civilized to do something like that? Instead, will Americans have parades and bang on pots and pans like they do in Argentina? What do you think, brethren? The unemployment numbers for January have just come out. And once again, folks, the bloodletting continues. More than 500,000 Americans lost their jobs last month. Now, in December, there was 500,000 people that lost their jobs. So that means in 2 months, we've lost over 1 million jobs here in America. The experts are predicting for the rest of 09, we're going to see 500,000 to 700,000 layoffs per month. Amazing numbers that are ahead for the rest of this year, folks. It's not going to get any better, and it's not going to be an improvement from last year. Now, let's do some quick math. We have 11 months left in 09, and there's potentially 500,000 to 700,000 job losses a month that are going to occur for the rest of the year. That ends up with a number of approximately between 5 to 8 million more unemployed people here in America. What do you think, folks? Is Obama's stimulus package going to prevent all this? For those of you that have not heard, or you might have forgotten, the Obama administration has said that the stimulus package is going to either save or it's going to create 3 million jobs in the next 2 years. Now, folks, we just lost 1 million jobs in the last 2 months. There's no way that even Obama's going to stop what's coming, folks. This country is in a meltdown. The economy is continuing to vaporize before our very eyes with no end in sight. And I see it coming, folks. Eventually, we're going to hit over 20% for the unemployment rate. Right now, the real number is approximately 13 to 15%. So we're getting close, folks. It's coming. Now, in addition to the U.S. losing a lot of jobs, these kind of shattering numbers are occurring worldwide. I just read an article today that said in Beijing, they lost 25 million jobs just in one city. This is happening worldwide, folks. European industrial production is down 26%. Japan exports are down 35%. Steel production worldwide is down 24%. These are incredible depression-level numbers. Don't be fooled, folks, because you have heard at work or you have heard the talking heads saying on news channels that the stimulus plan is going to stop all of this. It's not. It's impossible. The math does not work. It's fuzzy math. Now, who's going to be immune from this? I used to think that some job sectors were immune to layoffs because we've always heard that there are some categories of jobs that are quote-unquote recession-proof, like the oil and gas industry or healthcare or even government jobs. We always heard they were recession-proof, didn't we, folks? Well, guess what? Cracks are starting to show in those jobs as well. Let me give you some quick numbers. Pfizer, the pharmaceutical company, is merging with another pharmaceutical company. They bought them, Wyeth, and they announced in the last few days that they're going to lay off 15% of their workforce. That ends up with a number of 19,000 people in the drug industry that are getting laid off, folks. Amazing, isn't it? And then in the oil industry, we have ConocoPhillips. They're an oil and gas company. They're going to be laying off 1,350 employees. Another company involved in the oil and gas industry is Baker Hughes. They're laying off 1,500 employees worldwide. So the oil industry is not immune, and neither is the pharmaceutical drug industry. And then we have the government workers. The state of Pennsylvania has recently announced that they're going to be laying off thousands of their employees. Then we have California, who said they're going to lay off 20% of their workers. And then add to that Connecticut, Vermont, Ohio, across the country, folks. The revenue for state budgets is not meeting expenses, so they're having to lay off employees. Government jobs, it doesn't look like they're recession-proof. So what do we have left? Well, I always heard that education was recession-proof. Guess what? I was doing some research the last couple of days, and it turns out that schools across the country are shutting down. They're merging schools together because they don't have enough income from property taxes to maintain the budgets of their schools. And over the last month, school boards have been having meetings, emergency meetings that are very heated and passionate, where parents show up and cry and beg and plead not to shut down their local schools. But the superintendents and the school boards have no other choice. They don't have the money to maintain the schools. So across the country, folks, because of budget shortfalls, schools are shutting down and teachers are getting laid off and losing their jobs. Seattle announced that they were closing 5 schools. Several cities in Ohio have announced it. St. Louis, Oregon, Virginia. The list goes on, folks. This is happening nationwide. And then there's the final category that we always heard was recession-proof. Hospitals, doctors, nurses. Surely the economy doesn't affect them, right? That's what we heard. Well, they're not immune either, folks. In the Bay Area, Sonoma County Hospital is laying off almost 200 employees. West Michigan Hospital is laying off employees. Northern Maine is laying off nurses. Metro Hospital in Nashville, they're laying nurses off. In fact, this is not subsiding, folks. This isn't a new occurrence. Already, last year in 2008, 107 hospitals across this country laid off employees. That includes nurses and doctors. As people are losing jobs and they don't have the money to pay for insurance, so what do? When they have an emergency and they're uninsured, they go to the emergency room to seek aid, and the hospital will treat them. And it's like a vortex that is spinning with no visible remedy. People have no insurance because they don't have a job. So hospitals are losing revenues and they're laying people off. Less healthcare, folks, to treat the sick. It's amazing. This storm is touching every single sector. We've entered this season of God's judgment upon the land. And whether or not you believe it, it's still happening. Whether or not you prepare for it, it's still happening. If you happen to be a pastor or a minister, I want you to know something. Whether or not you believe that God is judging, Sorry, it's still happening. And whether or not a man rises up as an earthly king and passes stimulus packages, it's still happening. I also want to say this. If you happen to be someone that's very wealthy and confident, perhaps you're famous, perhaps you're even on TV, or you've been in a Hollywood movie, guess what, Mr. Hollywood? It's still happening. The judgment of God is going to affect everybody, including the rich and the comfortable ones. Nobody is immune. You can't run from God, and you can't hide from God. The new season of judgment has arrived. It's arrived after a long journey. It's taking out its luggage, and it is unpacking, because it's going to stay a while. Now, it will be the unwelcome guest, but it doesn't care. It has its instructions. What are the instructions of this judgment, of this new season that we're in? Well, there are several instructions that it has. To bring the church to her knees, to purge us and cleanse us, and to change the hearts of man and in the process destroy the wickedness of man. Now, does it always work for everybody? No. There's always many that will never get it. And sadly, folks, most spiritual leaders will not get it because they're full of denial and they're full of resistance. As I was seeking God for a word to share with all of you, He did something a little bit different this time. Instead of giving me the words that I could share with you in a sermon, He gave me a list of things that He wanted me to share with you, instructions, if you will. And these things that He wants me to share with you are very important. So I ask you folks to really, really take this seriously, what I'm about to share. These instructions are vital. Please get a pen and paper and take notes. And after you do, I ask that you share this information with your friends and your family. Sincerely, take them to God yourself and pray about them. I'm going to share with all of you how to survive what is coming. I'm also going to share some of the unpleasant things that are coming. So folks, I admit this is a little bit of a different kind of message, but that's my job. My job is to tell you what's coming. If God has any word to share with you, my job is to tell you. I'm not supposed to keep it to myself. Now, to give you a little background on how this came about, several nights ago, I had a burden in my spirit. I was seeking God for insight on this burden. So I cried out to Him. I told Him that the people want to know what's coming to our land. The people have to hear. And I was talking about you folks. I was asking God for a word to share with you. And as I continued to pray, I was suddenly overcome with anguish. It was very severe, brethren, with heartache. So I continued praying and I waited on Him. And He began to reveal that severe sorrow and distress is in the future of America. And He also told me something else, folks. All of us need to prepare ourselves in ways that we have never done in the past. Now, that's a hard thing to hear from the Spirit of God. And as I heard it, folks, all I could do was just lay there and seek Him. And so into the night, I continued to pray. And when I was finished, I went to sleep. And as I slept that night, I had a night vision. Now, some of you may already know about this because I placed it on the website, on the front page, and I also placed it in the forum, but I just want to tell you from my lips what this entailed. In my dream, I was standing in a field, and suddenly the Statue of Liberty appeared in front of me, and it was on a small hill, and the hill wasn't very high, maybe 50 to 75 feet high. I thought that it was odd that it wasn't on Ellis Island, that it was just on the hill, and suddenly, as I was looking at her head fell off, and it hit the ground in front of her, and it started rolling and bouncing down the hill toward me, and it stopped at my feet. The dream was immediately over, and then I woke up. And I pondered over the dream, and I thought to myself, what did that mean? I tried to understand what it meant, and I was saying to myself, does that mean America gets decapitated? I don't know what that means. And then I fell back to sleep. Well, a few hours later, I had the dream again. And it was the same scene. I was standing looking at the Statue of Liberty on a hill. I was staring at it, and her head was back on. It was at the beginning of the dream. And suddenly, a hand came out of the clouds with a long sword, almost as long as her body, and it chopped her head off. And it was the hand of God. And then the same thing happened again. It fell to the ground, bounced, and rolled down the hill, and stopped at my feet. And then I heard the words, "Liberty will be decapitated." And the dream was over. Wow, folks. All I could think to myself was, wow, it pretty much is summed up on its own. Liberty's going to be decapitated. Now, I've sought God since then on this matter, and I asked Him to reveal more things about this dream and what's coming, and He's done it, folks. So what I'm going to share in the remainder of this broadcast are the things that God told me to share with you, the instructions that He wanted to talk about. Now, the things that are happening here on this earth right now are on the very, very fast track to bring about the New World Order beast end time empire that's going to take over, that's going to devour the entire world. Right now, we are in the middle of an economic meltdown, and there's no debating that. Every nation in the world, folks, right this very day, is teetering on the brink of economic collapse. The money systems from so many countries, they're barely hanging on, folks. And the leaders from governments all around the world are running around just trying to find a remedy for this thing. They're running back and forth from one meeting to the next, and they're trying different things. And then we hear about what they try on the news, but still it continues. The meltdown is continuing. And eventually it's going to affect the money systems of every country in this world. And when that happens, folks, when the rug finally gets pulled out, we are going to have a world in the middle of the worst chaos it has ever had in its history. It's going to be worse than the 29 Depression because all the world economies are now intermingled and attached to one another. We're talking hundreds of trillions of dollars in lost wealth. And out of the ashes, the end time beast is going to rise out of the abyss of the earth, and it's going to take over this whole world, and it's going to devour this whole world. Every corner of the world will be a part of this thing, because when it rises, it's going to offer a remedy and an answer to the world economic collapse, to this money crisis. Now, folks, it's very pertinent that you understand what I'm trying to say and what I'm about to say right here. This New World Order beast is going to be powered by spirits that are invisible, by very powerful principalities, and it's a part of Bible prophecy. It's going to be the culmination of what many, many people of God and children of God are seeing in their night visions. God is giving dreams and visions to remnant Christians all around the world that we are about to enter a new season of something terrible. It's happening everywhere, folks. God promised in the book of Joel that in the end times, people were going to be having prophetic dreams. Young men would see visions, old men would dream dreams. It's prophesied, folks. And God does that because He wants to warn His people that the days are coming. And here we are. We are witnessing those days before our very eyes. Now, while the established evangelical churches are still in their little bubble of pretend Candyland and chutes and ladders, delivering the same downloaded messages from the internet that tell everybody things are great and everything's going to be happy, aside from them, folks, we have prophets that are crying out, the days of God's judgment are here. They're all over the place. You can find them on the internet. You can find them in the streets, in other countries. They're all over the place. And this is the hand of God doing this. Now, as I was saying, the pertinent thing that I want all of you to realize is that this New World Order beast cannot be stopped by any human being. It can't, folks. It's in God's sovereign plan for this to happen. And I've been noticing lately on the internet a divide beginning, a divide that is coming. And that divide is this. There are people that are well-meaning, that believe in God, that have more patriotism in them than they do remnant Christianity. And because their patriotism is stronger than their remnant Christianity, they want to get ready to fight the New World Order to stop it from happening. I've heard some radio shows that talk about it, that we can revolt, we can rise up and stop this thing. And you know, folks, it doesn't matter how much screaming I do to try to convince those people that it can't be done, because they're going to do what they're going to do. If some of you are listening to me and you believe that way, I can't stop you. I'm also aware of this, folks. We can shine the light on the different groups, the different human beings, the different organizations that are being used as vessels of dishonor to bring about this plan of the New World Order. And we can look at them, and we can study them, and point fingers at them, and shine the light on them, and go to their meetings, and yell at them. What are you talking about, Brother Nathan? I'm talking about those groups that we know are part of the New World Order plan, like the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergs, the Trilateral Commission, Henry Kissinger, Zbigniew Brzezinski. You know, folks, it's easy to shine the light on them, but they're just being used as pawns. They're being used to bring about this plan. And if it wasn't them being used, God would find someone else to use. Because the New World Order beast plan is in the scriptures. It's prophesied. And Jesus said that every word will come to pass. Every word. Every jot and tittle. Remember that? It's going to come to pass, folks. Now, for the record, I need to qualify, I guess, and explain a little deeper what I'm talking about right here as far as the New World Order not being able to be stopped. I'm aware that in the internet, people can take your words and take things out of context. So I want to qualify and explain where I stand in this matter. All right? Now, number one, as I said, the New World Order cannot be stopped. Number two, the New World Order has an evil spirit behind it. You know what that means, folks? That means that it has no human face. Now, how can you revolt against something with no face? There's no one person that's the New World Order, folks. It's a spirit. It's an idea. And it's spread throughout the whole world. Now, some people may say that that's a lazy attitude. You're just giving in. You're a pacifist. And I've heard some people on the internet say, what if our forefathers had this attitude? We would not be enjoying the freedoms of religion and Christianity that we have now if they had the attitude of some of them pacifist Christians out there. Well, you know what, folks? It's not the same thing. Our forefathers battled one country, and they battled representatives and soldiers of that country, the Redcoats. The enemy had a face during the American Revolution. The New World Order is not one country. It's the entire world, folks. In the book of Daniel 7, verse 7, it says, after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and exceedingly strong, and he had iron teeth. Now, this sounds pretty mean and tough already, doesn't it, folks? And it devoured and it broke in pieces and stamped residue with its feet. And it was diverse from all the beasts before it. And it had 10 horns. Now, right there, folks, it's saying the New World Order beast, the final beast empire, was diverse from all the other empires that have ever been on the world before it. What does that mean? That means that the empires in the past, the Egyptians, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, the Romans, they all had a face. They all had one leader. They all had their capital city. They all had their home base. But this final fourth beast, this final New World Order beast, is going to occupy and devour the entire world. So it's not one face. It's not one leader. It's the whole world, folks. How do you fight that? You can't. And right here in this verse I just read, it said it's diverse from any other beast that's been before it, from all the beasts. You know what that means? That means that in addition to the makeup of the New World Order Empire, the way that it comes about to take over the whole world is not going to be the same way that empires have conquered in the past. Now, in the past, empires always conquered with bullets and with weapons, with swords, with attacks. This final New World Order beast empire that's coming upon our world in our future is not going to take over with bullets, folks. The Bible tells us it's different. And I submit this to you. This final beast empire that has Satan behind it is going to be so evil and deceptive with its schemes that it will take over with deception. It's going to take over in a way that people never thought could happen. It's going to take over by having the people welcome it, by having the people clamor for it and beg for it. That's how it's going to happen, folks. A very deceptive scheme will do it, folks. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Now, the example I'm going to give you is not a word from God. It's not prophetic. It's just an example to help you understand how the beast is going to operate in a totally different way than people expect. Now, imagine this, folks. Let's say a terrorist attack occurs simultaneously in cities all across the world, all across America. And this attack is either a chemical agent attack, where chemicals are released into the air and anyone that breathes them dies instantly. Or it could be an attack that's biological, where anyone that breathes, again, the biological agents in the air dies instantly. So if an attack like that happened, people would be dying left and right. And the emergency broadcast system would be saying, people, run to your houses and put plastic in all your windows and stay in your house. Do not leave your houses. If you leave your house, you die, because the poison will get on you and you'll die. Now, how many patriots are going to be able to shoot bullets at that threat? How many, folks? While everybody is indoors, martial law would take over. There would be a declared national emergency. Soldiers would be distributed to cities all across America and in other countries to keep people at bay, to keep people under control. And then after a few days or weeks, there would be an announcement that told everybody, we have found the base of this disease or of this chemical, and we've made an antidote. If you want to live, go to your neighborhood school, and we're going to offer your family and your children the antidote so they won't die. It's a vaccine. So everybody will run gladly to the school to take this vaccine. When people come out of their house, it would be a different world, folks, because there would be roadblocks, there would be soldiers, it would be martial law, there would be curfews, and there would be lockdown. In a situation like that, the takeover would happen without one shot being fired. Again, that's not prophetic, folks. I'm just throwing out an example of how it's going to happen. The satanic MO, modus operandi, in these last days is the old story of order out of chaos, the Hegelian dialectic, where an emergency is created or allowed to happen, and then order is brought in. That's how it's going to happen, folks. Evil is very clever, and evil is very deceitful and has schemes. Chaos is going to occur, folks.
Nathan, how do you know chaos is coming? How do you know?
Well, brethren, there have been too many prophets of God that have seen what's coming. God is trying to warn red flags, alarms, just in the last year. The alarms are going off worldwide. So that's what I'm talking about, folks. We need to prepare for hard times that are coming. Now, if you want to be patriotic and get mad at me, you can believe what you want, brethren, okay? But you can't shoot bullets at the wind. Our duty as remnant end-time believers is to prepare ourselves spiritually for supernatural protection. Now, when these things start happening, after the clampdown occurs, if we do find ourselves in the beast empire in the next 2, 3, 4 years, 5 years, coming out of this depression, and mistreatment starts happening to the citizens, and tyrannical police mistreatment starts happening, I am sure, brethren, I'm sure that we're going to hear about events and stories of supernatural exploits. For sure, brethren. Will the people of God do amazing things like escape their prison cells, picking the locks, and running away from their tyrants? By all means, that's going to happen, folks. But overall, I'm saying the machine, the entire empire, is not going to be stopped. I didn't say that exploits would not happen, folks, localized in different geographical regions. I'm not talking about that. Brethren, there are going to be very intense times in the future. But right now, I think the proper attitude among the remnant is that of getting spiritually prepared and getting strong. Now, some of you listening to me may disagree because you want me to be screaming right now that the remnant should be taking up arms and getting ready to revolt the minute the New World Order takes over. You want me to be preaching that, to build an army. Well, let me say this to you, all right, Mr. Patriot? Instead of you crucifying those that at this time are proclaiming peace, you need to quit griping about this topic. In fact, let me say this. At this point in time, it would probably be wise for many people that are advertising that they want to revolt and ready to fight, it would probably be wise if you stopped saying that, if you quit advertising that, if you quit publishing that across the internet and the airwaves. It would probably be wise for you if you know what I'm talking about. He that has an ear, let him hear. Enough said, folks. We need to be wise as serpents. Amen? Now, getting back to the message that God said, that he told me, liberty will be decapitated. And the amazing thing about the vision that I saw, folks, was that it was his sword that did it. It is him that is going to allow what's coming.
Brother, can you give us some details about what's coming?
You know, I asked God the same thing. I asked him for some details, and he just told me how to prepare. So that's what I want to talk about. Now, as Americans, most of us don't really worry about certain terrible things happening to us. We don't worry about mistreatment from authorities, and we don't worry about getting persecuted as Christians. We don't worry about societal lockdown and mistreatment by police forces or the military. We don't worry about those things, folks. Why? Because we've always been free. We have a constitution to protect us, and if things got bad, we always have the ability to appeal to government authorities, to protest peacefully, to take policemen to court, politicians to court. We have these rights to do these things. So most people don't even give it a second thought. They say it would never happen here. You know what, folks? Liberty is going to be decapitated. The freedoms that we once held dear will be gone. Now, I don't have a date or a timeline for the things that are coming. God just said warn them. So Does that mean it could happen in 1 year, or 3, or 5, or 10? I don't know, folks. That part I don't know. But in the future, the rules are going to change. The rules of society and freedom are going to change. The landscape's going to change. When those days arrive, folks, nobody's going to care what Britney Spears or Brad Pitt ate for breakfast. They're not going to care, folks. Those are going to be incidental things of the past. This is what I am gathering so far. All right, folks? When I was seeking God and asking Him what was coming, I asked Him, is it one thing, two things, three? What is coming? And in my spirit, so far, this is the information that I have, folks. There's going to be several events that are going to come. More than one. It might be two, it might be three, but it's going to be more than one. I'm not sure of the exact number. And as I was seeking God, I said, God, what exactly are the events that are going to happen? God said crisis-type events. Events that bring sorrow, distress, fear, and panic. Events that are going to test my children. So I asked God for a date. I asked Him again, God, give me a date. The middle of 09, the end of 09, next year, the year after. And what God told me was, people abuse dates. People wait to the last minute to prepare. But events are coming, so tell them to prepare. So these are the things that we have to prepare for, folks. Persecution is going to come to America. Christians are going to suffer. Christians are going to be misunderstood and demonized. Now, I need to qualify the term Christians. When I say Christian, I'm talking about remnant Christians. Remnant Christians are going to be considered fringe groups and labeled as such. I'm not talking about the people that fill up churches, because there's a lot of fake ones inside of churches. And most of them are actually going to be okay. They're not going to be persecuted because they're fake and they love the world. Now, in the past, brethren, I have challenged everybody that was listening to me to hide in God and repent, to be marked for God. Those of you that have been with me long enough and that have heard my other broadcasts, you know what I'm talking about. Those of you that are new, you can go to my audio page at watchmanscry.com and listen to the audio page of previous broadcasts. And there are several in there about hiding in God, about being marked for God, about the fourfold judgment of God. Listen to those, folks. Now, when I challenged everybody to repent and to hide in God and to get marked by God, I didn't really give instructions. I didn't really tell the people how to get marked by God and how to hide in God. So that's what I want to share here in this audio. This is what God wanted me to tell you. Now, brethren, it is vital. I can't stress it enough that I communicate this point. Those of you that do not hide in God and that do not do the suggested things run a very high risk of not weathering the coming storm. Don't just listen to what I have to say. Don't just put it in an iPod and as you're at work, you listen to me and then you listen to the next thing you found on the internet and the next thing and the next thing. I know that that is the habit of a lot of remnant Christians, to be addicted to just listening to a lot of audios. What I'm trying to say is you have homework in this audio. God wants you to know what you need to do to hide yourself and to hide your family, and the homework needs to be done and it needs to be started now. Those of you that are part of our family on the website, you're aware that there's a lot of suggestions for practical preparation, like getting out of debt and storing up food and doing practical things. This broadcast puts all that aside and it concentrates on the spiritual things, folks. This is the spiritual category, not practical. Because if anybody prepares just in the practical and doesn't prepare with the instructions that I'm going to share, you're going to have it a lot harder. You know, folks, as Western Christians, we've had it so easy. We didn't have to learn how to be an underground Christian. We didn't have to be trained to actually not die for being a Christian. Those people that live in countries where martyrdom is normal understand these things. And as a result, they are taught by Christian brothers and sisters how to be wise, how to stay under the radar. They're also trained on how to endure in case they fall into enemy hands, because it does happen to them. They fall into enemy hands and they're tortured and mistreated and even killed. But many of them are taught and they're trained how to deal with those things. Here in America, we're not trained that way because we've never had to face those things. So what I want to share right here, folks, has to do with the possibility of that kind of mistreatment and what we should do. So the things that I want to share, folks, are in that category. Now, just because I'm sharing them does not mean that it's going to start tomorrow or next week or next month. So I'm not trying to put dates on when this is going to start, but I'm doing my part so that end time remnant believers can be wise. Back to what I was saying, hiding in God. Step one of hiding in God, folks. Some of you may not be used to doing this. You spend all of your time going to work, coming home, and maybe getting on the internet and surfing remnant websites, or you may get on the forum and have conversations, and that's good to do that, but this is another thing that needs to be added to your schedule. You need to get the Bible off the shelf, and some of you need to crack it open and blow the dust off of it. That's step one, folks. Become familiar with your Bible. Some of you have been Christians long enough, and you remember when you first got saved how you had a zeal for reading the Word, and it couldn't be stopped. That's all you wanted to do all day long. But over the years, things happen. We have our ups and downs. We have our highs and lows. And the zeal that we once had is no longer there. Well, that zeal needs to be rediscovered for the Scriptures, brethren. You need to fall back in love with the Scriptures and start memorizing the Scriptures. So step one, get your Bible. Dust off the Bible. Number two, this may be easy for some, and it may be harder for others. But there are many, many Christians that do not have a prayer life. The majority of the prayers that you do are when you tuck your kids in bed and you say, "Now I lay me down to sleep," that prayer, and or the prayer that you might do at dinner time. You say grace, and that's it. So the other thing that I need to challenge you with, folks, is that we need to add to our schedules, every one of us, a renewed prayer life. That means that you need to find a place where you will regularly start to pray, and it means that you have to let everyone in your family know that you're going to start doing this. That means going into your bedroom. That means when it's time to pray, you need to tell them not to disturb you. That means some of you might have to have a family meeting and sit down with your kids and your wife. And before you even tell them you're going to be praying, you need to probably take care of business beforehand, because there might be areas of your life where possibly you fell short as a parent, as a mother or a father. Now, I want to throw this tidbit in very, very quickly. Does everybody in church get protected with what's coming? Answer, no. Only the ones that begin taking refuge now are the ones that are going to be hidden in God then. It needs to start now, folks. It's only the ones that become marked by God now are the ones that are going to be hidden then when it happens. Now, the other thing that I need to add, in a previous broadcast, when I talked about the sermon of being marked for God, and I shared the passage out of Ezekiel, go back and listen to it. But in that passage, it talked about the angels that went through the city and they examined every man's heart, and only the men that sighed and cried for the sins that were happening in the land, they're the only ones that got marked by God. The angels marked them on their foreheads. Five angels came behind with destroying weapons like swords, and they struck down everybody else that was not marked. So we need to get marked now, brethren. Confess your sins to God. The ones that you've been tolerating, confess them to God. It's the key, folks. You need to confess them to God so that He will forgive you. If you just go into your prayer closet and ask God, "God, protect my family," without confessing your sins, that's not repentance. So there's no hiding secret sins in this thing. This thing is very serious. God told me to tell you these instructions. Have them repent. Have them confess their sins. That means if you have closet sins, confess them all, brethren. We are past the days of messing around. Folks, you know that. When you look around the landscape, we are beyond playing games with God. So we need to cover all of our sins under the blood. So I challenge you to do that. Do this in your new prayer closet that I just mentioned. Now, I know that some of you are not used to this.
"I'm not used to praying, brother. It feels weird. I'm embarrassed." They'll think I'm crazy, or they'll think, "Yeah, right. You're going to be praying. We know how you really are. You're a crummy parent." And folks, it's probably true that maybe you have failed some of your family members or your kids, or you haven't been the best example, but have a meeting and sit down with them and tell them that you realize this, and share with them that you're going to, from this point on, be a better parent. And from this point on, you're going to be the father and the priest over the house that you should have been doing already, but let them know that you're going to start now. And ask them to forgive you. If you have any hurts or offenses that you've done to your children, confess to them also, folks. This has to be a time of cleaning house, brethren. Now, in addition to yourself, when you have your family meeting, tell your kids, tell your wife, that everyone in your family needs to do the same thing. Have a meeting and tell them the hand of God, the judgment of God is upon the land, and in order for the family to be protected and covered and marked by God, it has to be a family thing. So challenge your kids, folks. If your kids are too young to understand, pray with them.
If you have teenage kids, challenge them. Just lay it out on the line and let them know. Now, some of them might rebel and some might not believe you. And if that's the case, then just keep praying for them. But I'm just challenging all of us. This is a restoration of families that God wants to see happen in these times. And the reason that I'm saying all family members need to come back to God is for this reason, folks. The events that are coming, God made this very clear. He said, families need to be lifted up by the fathers. If there's no father, then it's you, mom. All right? If there's no mother and father, then it's grandma or aunt or uncle. Whoever the head of the houses are, you need to lift up all the members of your household to God for protection. Lift them up and ask God to cover them. Because persecution is going to come, folks, and some families are going to suffer. And you don't want to see your family members split apart or for harm to come to one of them that's not covered. So I challenge you, folks, lift up your families for protection. Pray that God keeps all of you together and protected. And He will do this, brethren. God will do this if you commit to doing these things that I'm suggesting. But we have to start now, brethren. Now, there is supernatural protection that is promised all over the Scriptures. There's a lot. But the way that you receive it, folks, is by submitting to God. It's by persevering to God and asking Him, becoming His friend, getting to know Him, and getting close to Him, and asking Him to cover. Now, you can't command Him to do it. You can't be ordering God around. You can't be demanding Him to do it. But bring your supplications to God and ask Him in Jesus' name to protect your family members. You know, one of the biggest lies that's occurring right now in this time of meltdown is that in churches all over America and the West, pastors are really, really doing a disservice because they're telling their flocks, yes, times are getting hard, but don't worry, we're God's children and He's going to protect us. You know, folks, just to make a blanket statement like that is so unfair because it's not true. If you tell everybody sitting in a church, don't worry because God's going to protect you, then they don't do house cleaning. Then they don't confess their sins. It's very, very unfair for a pastor to do that. You know, in Psalms 91, it says, He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So people quote that and they say that's automatic for them. The pastor will quote that and say, see? The Bible says right here, you will abide. Well, the first part of that verse says the key point. He that dwells in the secret place. What's the secret place, folks? The secret place is the Holy of Holies prayer closet. The secret place is the throne room of God when you're on your knees and you're seeking Him. That's the secret place. The secret place is when you're communing with Him and supping with Him. That's the secret place. So if you tell people that it's automatic, it's not true. And let's get down to the real nitty-gritty. Let's tell the truth, folks. The pastors that say that are lying to their people. They're lying. It's not true. Now, another thing that needs to be mentioned that God wanted me to share was just like a soldier who trains for survival in the wilderness, they train to be ready. They train to be able to get food when resources are limited and to find food. And they train for it and they practice it over and over and over. In the same way, folks, our food in the wilderness is the Scripture. So I want to challenge everybody listening that you need to start memorizing large portions of Scripture. Because if the day comes when Bibles are illegal, or if you find yourself without your Bible, you're not going to be able to comfort yourself. So if you have it memorized, if you have passages of Scripture memorized, and you find yourself in a place that's very unpleasant, well, then you could take a pen and a paper and write out verses and then read them and share them with others. So it's very vital, folks. Those of you that have large families, perhaps a husband can take one part of Scripture that he really finds comforting, and a wife can take another, and then the kids can take another portion, and then if you ever find yourself without your Bible, without Scripture, the book of Revelation says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, folks. The word. They had Scripture. Now, those people mentioned in Revelation, they died. Those people mentioned in that verse, they didn't love their lives even unto death. They died, folks. So what that means is that before they died, they were probably living in a camp somewhere, but they had the Word. Now, whether the camp allowed them to have Bibles, which I sincerely doubt, most likely they were able to recite the verses to each other. So that's why I'm saying memorize Scripture, folks. It's very, very important. Some of you have never done this, or you don't feel that you can. Well, ask God to help you. Say a prayer and just start memorizing. Folks, that's how you will overcome. Now, in the events that are coming in the future, it may happen that a quick evacuation of your town may occur, and you will just have seconds to grab a few vital things. So, this is another piece of advice, folks. Have a Bible in your car at all times, in case you have to flee quickly. It will at least be in there waiting for you. Just have it in there, folks. Mom, you can have room in your purse to stick it in there. Another way that you can have a Bible with you is if you have an iPod or a listening device. The capacity for those iPods are so large now that you can actually store entire Bibles on those things. So those of you that can, download some Bibles and stick them on your iPod so that you will have access to them. It is vital, brethren. It is so vital that whatever happens in our future, it's only going to be through the encouragement of the promises of God that are going to get us through. They're going to allow people to endure. So do these things. The Word is so important. The other thing that God wanted me to share, folks, was that right now, many of you are going through a purging. You're going through a very challenging period in your life. You're being tried in ways that you never were in the past. And if you listened to my previous broadcast, by the way, I advise you to, if you haven't, about being broken for God and purged. It's very comforting and encouraging. And the thing that God wanted me to share was those things are happening to you right now so that you would grow, so that in the future you will be able to minister to others that are hurting. God's going to use you, folks. He's going to use you in mighty ways that you never even imagined. So in spite of the darkness that may be lurking in the land, there is a bright spot, folks. The remnant of God, the true bride of Christ, is going to rise up and be used mightily to minister to one another, folks. It's going to be an exciting time where we see the Spirit of God moving through the exploits in His hand through us. It's going to be very exciting. Now, brethren, as you prepare to get closer in your walk with God, if you happen to share these things with your friends or family or other Christians, there is a very, very good chance that they are not going to believe what you're saying. They're going to think you're crazy, they're going to think you're nuts, and they're going to dismiss you. But I want to warn you beforehand, it's expected, folks, and if it happens to you after you feel led, then wipe the dust off your feet. Brethren, in the future, division is going to come, and actually it's already coming into the church and amongst Christians. There is a divide that is coming. Those that are the remnant believers of God that understand and have wisdom to what's going on in the land, and the other side of the divide are the sleeping ones, the lukewarm ones that resist this message. And sadly, folks, if you happen to attend church, some of those that are sitting next to you in church, they will betray you, and they might even deliver you up. There are also pastors that will betray you and deliver you up. The remnant is not a welcome thing. The remnant is seen as a fringe, crazy thing. But that's how it's always been, folks. It's always been the religious ones that resisted the true Word of God. So expect it now. Expect it beforehand so that when it happens, it doesn't crush you. You need to know that up front, folks.
Now, brethren, while we are on the topic of pastors, I want to say a few things to any pastors that might be listening right now. Now, if you're a pastor or a minister and you're listening to this message, maybe out of curiosity or perhaps one of the members of your church asked you to listen to it, you may be having a variety of responses right now. You may be processing different opinions about what you're listening to, and there's a possibility you disagree. Now, I want to address you for just a few short minutes. Now, if you're a pastor and you agree with me, this doesn't apply to you with what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say a few hard words right here. Now, first of all, brother, if you're the pastor of a church and you have people that depend on you for the truth, I challenge you, pastor, right this very minute, God is moving. He is moving across this land, and He has been warning that these days were coming, and now they're here. Now, for whatever reason you'd resist that message, it's still happening, pastor. And you yourself should be realizing this, because the scriptures are very clear that at times He chastises His own people, and the scriptures are very clear that He disciplines. In addition to that, the scriptures are very clear that the days were coming when judgment was to begin in the household of God. And right now we're seeing that. Now, I'm aware that some of you resist this whole concept because in your mind, you say that God has not appointed us to wrath. That is the verse that in your mind you're using to totally dismiss everything that's happening around you and to try to nullify all the other scriptures in the Bible. Pastor, if you are in disagreement, I challenge you. Read your Bible. I get emails from people all the time that tell me that they try to share this warning and this information with their pastor, and the pastor denies, and sometimes they get mad and say, no, 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 God would not do this. God would not judge the land. And when they ask the pastor, why do you think that? They answer, because God does not appoint us to wrath. So by some inversion of semantics, the ministers are associating the biblical term wrath with judgment. Now, personally, I don't see how you could associate the term wrath with judgment. And if that's occurring, then you haven't been studying your Bible. You haven't been studying the end times, and you're not familiar with the whole concept of judgment versus the eschatology of wrath. The wrath of God is an event that will happen to this earth, but it happens at the very end of the tribulation period. It occurs in Revelation chapter 14 after Jesus harvests the earth. Now, it's very clear the grapes of wrath is a scheduled event. Read it. You know, really, Pastor, read it. Instead of trusting in Hal Lindsey books or Tim LaHaye books who tell you the traditions of man and tell you how you're supposed to think, why don't you read your Bible? Revelation 14 is very clear. The wrath of God happens after the seventh trumpet. Revelation 14:18. The divine sickle is going to be thrust into the earth, releasing the appointed wrath. Judgment and wrath are not the same thing. Discipline and wrath are not the same thing. Chastisement and wrath are not the same thing, Pastor. You know, folks, I continue to be amazed at the ignorance of the shepherds that are behind pulpits, the ones that are given the privilege to be endowed with a few precious sheep of God. Every one of them sheep have a soul inside of them, and the shepherds today are endowed with that responsibility, and they're going to be accountable, but I am so amazed that even still, they don't study for themselves. They download their sermons from the internet. They join the Rick Warren Club. Many of them do. Now, not all of them, but many do. In fact, I think the membership is in the tens of thousands now. For $20 or $30 a month, the pastor can download sermons from there and preach a sloppy message of grace instead of telling the people what they really need to hear. Pastors do not know God, and they do not understand God. And I'm saying that based on Scripture, because God says in Jeremiah 9:23 that if you know and understand me, you will know that I am a God of loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. I'm a God of three things. By the way, I did a video, a YouTube video that explains this whole concept. For those of you that want to listen, you can go to my website, and on the front page, it says we've expanded to YouTube, and you can click on that link, and I explain that whole thing, how God is a God of three parts: judgment, loving kindness, and righteousness. Three parts, brethren. But today's Greasy Grace pastors only concentrate on the grace part of God, the loving kindness part of God, so they're sitting on one leg of a three-legged stool. It's very unfortunate, and it's very unfair to the children of God, so the children of God aren't being taught the fullness of God. Now, another reason that pastors do not understand that God does judge is because, well, why don't we look at what the Bible says about that matter? In Jeremiah 8:7, it says, "Even the stork in the heavens knows her appointed times, and the turtle dove, the swift, and the swallow observe the time of their coming." But listen to this, folks. "But my people do not know the judgment of the Lord." Brethren, that's the word of the Lord. Don't get mad at me. That's the Bible. And here's the sad conclusion of that verse that I just read. If a bird understands these things, and they understand the time of their end, but a pastor does not understand those things, that means that a bird brain is smarter. That's pretty scary, huh, folks? And these are the ones that are teaching the people. Interesting situation that we have here.
Nathan, are you saying I should quit my church and buy a canary then?
Well, you know what, folks? For some ministries that are out there, it probably would not be any worse than what you're eating now. There are many people that have decided to leave the church because they were tired of this mess. They were tired of being fed from a milk bottle, a bunch of milk. They were tired of being fed from immature, unseasoned men that call themselves pastors that do not even understand the makeup of God. So they went into the wilderness, they fled from the church, and now they're being fed by God Himself, by His Holy Spirit. It's happening all around the world, folks. So that's another thing that I need to challenge everybody listening. I get emails all the time from people telling me they're tired of it, and they have left, and they're going to be part of the wilderness church. Hundreds of people on our forum have said the same thing. They're tired of it. This is happening all over the world, brethren. God is calling many people to leave the organized, lying, apostate, lukewarm church, and to seek the true Word of God in the wilderness, and to become part of the real Bride of Christ. So I want to also leave that with you, folks. If you have tried to warn your pastor, and you've been mocked, and made fun of or mistreated? Wipe the dust off your feet. Seek God, but perhaps it's time to seek the truth of God elsewhere. If you look at many of the people of God in Scripture, when they met God, they weren't in the sanctuary or the temple. Where did Elijah meet God? He met him in the wilderness. He met him alone at the brook. Where did Moses meet God? Alone in the wilderness, at the burning bush, and at the top of a mountain. Over and over, folks, Jesus went into the wilderness. John the Baptist was in the wilderness. The mighty people of God throughout history have walked alone with God, just like a mighty lion or an eagle that soars by itself. Now, brethren, if you happen to be in that situation I'm talking about, you seek God yourself and you let Him tell you what to do. But it's pretty sad that we have got to this point where we are having families that are losing everything that they own. They're losing their houses, their jobs, their cars, their savings, their retirement funds, and still the pastors are playing games and lying to them. What event would it take for a pastor to finally wake up? Because if a pastor really cared, they wouldn't be playing those games. They would adjust their message to the possibilities that are going on around them. They would seek the counsel of God. They would seek the wisdom of God so that the people could really be fed in this time of distress and sorrow. So you take that to God, folks, if you happen to be in that situation. Also, there's something else I want to touch quickly. There are so many people that are receiving the alarm warning of God in prophetic dreams. And I believe that this is the alarm of God going off in His remnant body. Many people are receiving the warning message. And in addition to receiving the prophetic warning dreams, people also in their spirits have alarms going off. They're all sounding at the same time, brethren. I do not think this is a coincidence. I think this is a corporate event that is going on to Christians and remnant believers all around the world. Because I'm also receiving emails from people all around the world that are telling me this. Alarm, alarm, alarm. In my spirit, I feel that something is coming. So people are wondering, what do I do as far as relocating? Do I quit my job and pack up and leave where I am? And for every situation, brethren, for every life that is wondering that thing, for every person that is wondering that thing, for every believer that is wondering that thing, the answer is going to be different. You could have two people living in the same town on the same street, and to one of them, God would say, pack up and go into the mountains, and to the other one, He would tell him to sit still and not go. So the message is not going to be the same for everybody. And the reason is this, brethren. God may decide for some people that He wants them to go into the wilderness to prepare a place of refuge so that it would be ready for others to come and be with them. For others that are in the city, God may have them staying in the city so that they can minister to the people that are going to be around them, so that they can minister to the immediate family and to their friends, their co-workers. Brethren, if every person just fled into the mountains, there would be nobody to minister to the others left in the cities. So, depending on your situation, depending on the gifts that God has given you, you're going to have your own unique instructions from God. I want to caution this, though, brethren. Please do not let fear drive you to make spontaneous decisions that are not thought out and that do not have the endorsement and peace of God, because that can be a very dangerous thing that would be regretted. So, very vital, brethren, continue seeking in the direction that you need to go with your family. If you're married and both of you are believers, it may take the two of you to really bombard heaven in prayer to get an answer in this thing. Perhaps fasting to turn off the thoughts of carnal man is the best thing that you could do also. Those of you that know how to fast, some people, it's harder to fast than others. When you're older, it's harder for some people. So depending on your health and what you're able to do, that's a whole other matter. But fasting can be another way to find the mind of Christ. So I would also encourage that. I would also encourage possibly finding counsel with other people that you're close to and that you trust to try to find out what to do. But in addition to that, folks, if you don't know where you want to go, because I get emails from people that say they want to leave the city, they don't like where they live, and they feel they need to go, but they don't know where to go. If that's you, just keep praying, brethren. Keep praying. If you really, really need a lot of prayer and you have no one to pray with you, send me an email, and I'll pray for you. So there is so much going on right now, brethren. So many things are happening very quickly. But the thing not to do, folks, is please do not panic, because when you panic, then you can't hear the mind of Christ, and spontaneous decisions happen, which is not good. God has always said that He was faithful. He has always promised that He would be with us always, that He would never leave us or forsake us. So he's with you, brethren. He's with you. So rest in that promise that he is there with you to help you come to a decision on what to do. Now I'm starting to run out of time. I had a lot more things that I wanted to share, and I'm going to try to put this in a written format and get it up on the website, and then you can read it there. But I'm running out of time, folks. Do not let the enemy consume you with fear, brethren, because he'll try to do it. I'm talking about these things right now because the Lord God told me to share them. And again, I don't know what the timeline is. It could be years away, but he wants the remnant to get strong now. And it could take a few years for maturity and seasoning to come in to the remnant before God really pulls the rug out. So that's why we need to start really, really becoming strong disciples now, folks. So I challenge all of you to do this. Folks, take all these things to prayer. Prepare your house. Prepare them now. Please do not wait. This judgment is not going to be stopped, but you can be hidden during this time. You can go to your chamber and hide. I want to close in prayer now. Heavenly Father, I ask you to be with every person listening. God, I ask you to go with them. I ask you to be with them. Father God, I ask you to protect them. And I ask you to help the ones that are weak, God. Help the ones that do not feel strong. Help the ones that may be in fear. Help the ones that may be hurting right now and going through your purging and training. Help all of them, God. Be with all of your precious children and comfort them, God. Lord, as they take these things to prayer and as they meet with their family members and challenge their family members to do these things, God, I pray that spiritual fruit and maturity would result from these things. I thank you, God. Cover every one of them. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, folks, if you appreciate these messages, please consider supporting this ministry. Just go to the website, watchmanscry.com, and follow the links. Also, I ask that you would please share this with as many people as you can. Brethren, we got to get the warning message out there. So share it, make copies of it, download it. So God bless you, folks. Stay strong, stay vigilant, and keep looking up. And we'll see you next time.